I don't know whether Ivy Tech is in the top 10 in terms of community college systems of the states of the United States, but they got to be up there. You know, disproportionately large. It is the largest post-high school educational institution in the state of Indiana, public or private. And they just keep growing like weeds and doing all kinds of things. The head guy at the top of the entire pyramid is Tom Snyder, president, chancellor, super guy of Ivy Tech Community College. Welcome. It's been a while.
It has, Amos. It's great to be on your show and talk to folks.
Let me, you know, first of all, you are the largest.
We are
institution of higher education in this state.
Absolutely, but we're one of a kind. We're unique, and that is most other states have a separate college for each of 20 or 30 communities. We organized well before my time into just a single college. Which, you know, we think gives us some unique opportunities, and we've tried to use those.
As you guys were growing under the previous governor administration, the focus was college, which you guys do a great job at as well. But you are also doing a job in terms of career readiness, you know, providing the education to be able to fix my car, fix appliances, and those non-college things where you still need, you know, extra knowledge. Now we have a new governor. Governor Pence has been talking about all of that. Is what the Pence administration is talking about enhancing the other side of Ivy Tech, or actually the side that Ivy Tech began as?
I think it actually is a great fit. We're now talking about getting people, everybody ready for something beyond high school, and that is a high school diploma, a Core 40 diploma or a general diploma isn't enough to really give you a leg up in the world, and you need to do something beyond that, and it can start in high school. And I think that's where Governor Pence has given this a lot of attention with his career council and his works council, and people are now redefining college to mean something like a post-high school credential that you could get in as little as 6 months, but you have to have that beyond high school. It could be a four-year degree, could be a two-year degree, could be a PhD. But high school alone, regardless of when you start going beyond high school, is not enough.
Is Ivy Tech also becoming the institution where if IU or Ball State or Indiana State or Purdue doesn't think you're fully ready to hit Bloomington or Indianapolis or West Lafayette or Terre Haute or Muncie, they move them through your system at least for the first year?
It works both ways. We get students that are honor students that are ready to progress on, and for a variety of reasons they pick us. But what you say is exactly correct. Probably our anchor program is the program called Hoosier Links in Bloomington, where a person is provisionally accepted to the Bloomington campus of Indiana University, can even, if qualified, live in the dorm. And once you pass a successful 17-credit hour mark, you can transfer. So we think that's a great opportunity, and it gives more people an opportunity to start locally and to save money and to be prepared for college work.
One of the things that I think a lot of listeners are not fully aware of in education today is this increasing reliance on online classes. The big universities have been slow, you know, to do that because, you know, I'm a professor. I can't do this online. You guys do a lot of that. How much of the instruction at Ivy Tech now is online?
Well, I think what we would say is at any given time, a third of our students are taking an online course. They generally mix it in with their other courses. And, of course, we're doing a couple thousand of people that just go to school with us online. It is not the only future, but it is the future, especially for adults. You know, they've got children. They've got work schedules. They cannot be in class 3 or 4 days a week. This won't work.
239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is with Tom Snyder, the chancellor, head guy, president of Ivy Tech Community Colleges. In the last few weeks, you all have announced some restructuring where even though you guys have campuses everywhere, you're announcing that, well, we're kind of – is it merging campuses or just merging who – where the boss of a particular region has their office?
Well, it's two things, Amos. And what I'd say is, number one, we found that the existing structure, the leadership was spread too thin. So what we are doing is we're naming key campus presidents in every location where we have a major campus. Mm-hmm. So it's happening. We just announced the campus president for Gary, a person we recruited from Indiana Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's going on. And what we're doing is the oversight, what you might call the back office, the senior work, we're merging cabinets in multiple regions. So the chancellor, who was the only face to the community, there are going to be fewer of them, but going to be supplant that with campus presidents. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing that? Because we think that we can reduce over time our senior administrative positions. What are we going to do with those positions? We're not going to eliminate them. We're going to hire more full-time faculty and more advisors. That's the key to getting people through.
Did I read somewhere that you got – it's not cash flow is the wrong word – where there's some fiscal issues involving Ivy Tech? Because one would say, wait a minute, you guys have more students than anybody, and if you got more students and they're paying tuition, then you ought to have, you know, wallowing in money.
Right, absolutely. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You know, tuition –
And you're trying to keep the tuition low.
Right, but tuition is starting to climb up. We don't think it can go much further. Now it's about $350 for a course. Compare that with a course at a four-year school in-state, it'd be more like $1,000 per course, mm-hmm. if not more. And more importantly, the state really never started to fund the college when we were founded in 2005. There was no – the college didn't ask for any additional money, and we got what we wished for, mm-hmm. no additional money. So this today is catching up with us where we need to spend, over and above what we're doing today, another $80 million, of which about two-thirds is recurring and one-third is replacement equipment. So why is that? It means we're still a AA rated. We've got good financial – we've got good balance sheet. We are able to do everything we're able to do today, but what we're doing today isn't enough to serve the students of Indiana that need to be served going forward.
Is Ivy Tech the most racially diverse of the higher education institutions in the state?
Well, clearly it's a gateway institution, and what it says here that in any given year, about 30% of the African Americans who leave high school and go to college come to Ivy Tech. Mm-hmm. So the numbers are really quite striking. The numbers that of we know the 2011 graduating class of high school, and there, interesting enough, mm-hmm. about 68% of the whites went to college and about 62% of the African Americans. So not much gap there, mm-hmm. okay? The difference is that about 25% of the whites went to Ivy Tech and about 30% of the African Americans. Mm. So we tend to over-enroll. And the African Americans, for example, did not enroll in Bloomington or West Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Now, we enrolled out of that class about 1,200, mm-hmm. and Bloomington enrolled about 250, and West Lafayette enrolled about 128. So really, one of the things that we know, if you're in a minority situation, you want to go to a school where the school looks like you do.
Right.
So one of the big challenges that we have is to make sure that as diverse as we are, we're diverse all the way through the college. And we think that works. We think that, you know, the African Americans who are leaving high school are very comfortable being on our campus. And you've been on our campus. Right. Our campus yeah. is a model of diversity.
How are you all doing in terms of diversity of the faculty, whether it's the permanent faculty or the adjunct faculty?
Well, we're keeping up with our various communities, but we really are recruiting more. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're going to launch this coming year and that Ben Young is working on, and that would be to reach out to historically black colleges and universities that have master's degree program and create teaching fellowships for a dozen or two dozen students to come over time. We'll help them finish their master's degree. Then they come and teach for us for 3 years, and then they move on. Master's degree educate, I'd say this to all the young people who are thinking about college today or in college. You want a great career, pursue that master's in math, pursue that master's in English, come back to the community college, and we'll put you to work.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name song was Tom Snyder at Ivy Tech. At one point, the Commission for Higher Education was beating everybody up. Worse than the NCAA beats right. up schools about, you know, how well do the basketball team and the football team graduate on time. And they measure athletic teams based upon do they get a degree 6 years after they start? And I thought the Commission for Higher Education was trying to measure you guys at 4 years. And I'm saying, how can they measure Ivy Tech at 4 years? There's a whole lot of students at Ivy Tech that, you know, will start, stop, go to work, come back, go to work, come back. Is evaluating Ivy Tech based on a 4 year, you start 1 year and you finish in four, a fair way to evaluate graduation rates for a school like yours?
Well, you've got the quandary identified really well. The issue would be that our students actually take an average of 5 years to graduate. Mm-hmm. So the mark that we look, there are a lot of marks. We look at a 2 year mark, we look at a 3 year mark, and we look at a 6 year mark. 6 years, over 50% of our students will have either graduated, transferred, done both, or surprisingly, still in school. Mm-hmm. If you look at them at the one and a half times, the 3 year rate, about 30% are either transferred or still in school. But if you look at the 2 year rate, it's even less. So I'd say that it's probably about 20%, 30%, and 50%. That are either still in school or transferred.
Talking with Tom Snyder from Ivy Tech. Let me go to the phones. And LJ, hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question. A few years ago, I tried to apply for their nursing program. And when I was applying, they made a statement that most schools, they allow the highest GPA in their nursing programs to go on to their clinical. At your school, you said that it had a lot to do with whether or not your mother went to school or your parents went to college or not. And so my question is, why don't they go by the highest GPA rather than going by whether your parents went to college?
Well, I think that was anecdotal because I don't recall. That certainly has not been that way since I've been here. And we do use GPA. We use SAT. We use ACT. If you've been out of school for a while and you've been out of school, say, for more than 4 years, then we give you a placement test. And we really encourage you to prepare for it and bone up on your math and your English. And so we give you a test called Accuplacer. It takes a couple hours, maybe as long as three, and then that helps you place you. But really, we have students in nursing who are in refresher courses who still power their way through and get their nursing degree. So I would encourage you to go back to your campus, or you've been in Indianapolis, go back to the Indianapolis campus or the Lawrence campus where we do nursing and see an advisor and get the latest information on what we have done. Did you pursue any college work when you got that advice?
I had started already in Michigan, and I had moved to Indianapolis, and I was checking in there. But when I was there, she said they didn't go by the highest GPA necessarily. She said there was a lot of criteria, and I know most schools go by your GPA average as far as who gets into the clinical first.
Well, what we'll go by, and we're going to change it to direct admit for new high school graduates for some portion. We have a nursing preparation test, and then we go by what college credits you've earned either in Michigan or with us, because we make you take some prerequisites, some first courses of about 12 credit hours. So you have one semester of testing, and then we're going to compare your grades with all the other people who took those courses. So that's probably what they meant by that. But I encourage you, if you're interested, go see an advisor and see what other programs that may not be quite as lucrative as nursing but still in the health field pay quite well, and we have a whole variety of those programs.
I appreciate the call. Let me go to Shara at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you?
Fine.
So, of course, I have a question for Mr. Snyder. I called the other day. I was discussing that I actually didn't drop out of one of my classes. I had to go to the advisors to get them to drop the class for me. When I went to the advisor talked me out of dropping the class and said, why don't you speak to the professor and see if they can, you know, help you catch up, or you could do something to catch up. However, I wasn't able to get in touch with the professor, so there was no, but it was too late for me to drop the class because I spoke with her on Thursday or Friday, and the time to drop the class was like over the weekend, but since I couldn't drop the class online, I had to go through an advisor. It was basically I didn't drop the class, so now I have a bill. I can't even come to school, or I would have been there this semester because I would have I have to pay back $830. So that's the, but I'm also on financial aid. So of course that suspended my financial aid. The school denied my financial aid appeal, and I really think that, you know, I want to understand how come, I don't understand how come I wasn't accepted. I hadn't been to school in a while. I was coming back. My other class, I had an A. Of course, my GPA is low. I was already on academic probation, but I also have a life. And when I poured my life into that appeal paper, I couldn't understand why no one even considered it or even contacted me, because every part of it is true.
Well, here's what I'd say, Cher, and that is the rules have gotten really tough from the federal government on federal financial aid, which makes it really difficult for a working student like yourself to persist. And if you were dropping right about now, it has the same impact on your financial aid if you withdraw from a course or if you stay in it. It's still treated as a non-complete. So what I'd say is leave us your name, contact information offline, mm-hmm. all right? And then we'll reach out to you and we'll see if we can't get you in to see somebody who can give you some special advice on this and revisit where we are.
Well, I'm sorry, because this I just wanted to get my because
I think it's a good point, and we do have standard processes for that, and sometimes people fall through the crack, and you know it's worth another review. But particular if you tried to drop the course and you couldn't, and we put you on restriction to see a professor, well, we'll revisit that for you, and we'll.
Oh no, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is I came to drop it. She told me to speak with the professor, but I still didn't drop the course because I never spoke with the professor, but I didn't drop. So what I'm saying is I'm paying because I didn't drop the class, but of course it was going to suspend my financial aid regardless.
Right. That's correct.
But what I'm saying is that now for me to come back to school, instead of me coming back and just paying for two classes, because that's all I took, it was a summer session, instead of me coming out of my pocket paying for the two classes, now I have to pay $830 for not dropping the course, and then turn around and pay for my classes to take off the financial aid suspension.
And the $830 is for the class you dropped?
That I did not drop. Since I didn't drop the class,
are you attending
now? $830.
So are you attending, or is this last semester?
This was last semester, so I'm not attending because I didn't have the money yet
right.
to pay the $830 and then pay how much it was going to be for me to take, you know, to make good on the previous semester, because from my understanding, you had to pay for whatever classes you took the previous semester to come off of financial aid suspension.
And the grade you got for the class you didn't drop was an incomplete. What'd you get? What did you get a grade, an incomplete?
I'm sure I got an incomplete. I've never gotten anything else from it. I didn't look up the grade, but I got the financial aid suspension papers that I was suspended off my financial aid, and then I appealed it, and I went through all that process, but they denied me the appeal. And so when I went to the bursars, I went to the bursar like prior to this last semester starting,
right.
To see how much I needed to pay. They told me I had to pay the $830 before I could even speak with someone in the bursar's office to speak on how much I was going to have to pay for the next semester for me to take. So I have to pay the $830 and then go talk to someone in the bursar's office to find out how much.
Well, we'd like to take your name and follow up.
Yeah,
on
they want to follow up with you.
Yeah.
I got raised eyebrows all the way up to the ceiling in the studio.
And the other thing is, just so you know, is we had to pay the financial aid back to the government.
Which I understand that.
Right.
Okay.
And
I don't have a problem. That's my only thing, was I don't have a problem.
But we'd like to find a way to get you back in school.
But right, that's all I'm trying to do is
right.
for me to go to the bursars and they tell me that I'm an adult and I should have dropped the class.
Right.
It made me highly heated because I did go to an advisor to drop the class.
I was told
to go talk to the professor. So now, like I said, I'm paying $830 versus 800, you know, just my classes.
All right, hold on, and we'll get please give Chris your information, including a number where you can be reached during the day, and they will follow up with you, okay?
Thank you.
Okay,
Cher.
239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon. His name is talking with folks at Ivy Tech. When we come back, we'll find out, you know, what are the hot courses at Ivy Tech? And then also, is it difficult for older students to come back to school if they got to take the math placement test, and they're testing not math from the 50s, 60s, or the age of the Beatles. They're testing math from, like, last year. And nobody, their students today don't even understand last year's math. It's After News with Dave. Speaking of financial aid, Wednesday, We've got folks on here that will explain everything you ever wanted to know about financial aid, the financial aid form, FAFSA, all this federal stuff, loans, because the deadline is coming, and College Gold Sunday is coming up on the fourth Sunday.
Right. The earliest deadline in the country is Indiana, which means a lot of students, if they don't think about applying, one-third of the students miss this deadline. 50,000 students missed it last
year. Why do we have it so early?
It's been tradition, and the state thinks they can't afford to change it. But it puts a lot of people at risk of not going to college.
239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message to 37890, keyword Amos. It's Apps News with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. Is it difficult, Tom Snyder? I mean, part of Ivy Tech's mission is to be able to provide retraining for workers who need, you know, to brush up on their skills or get the skills for the jobs Indiana's attracting. And so they come to Ivy Tech, and you're going to want to take have them to do the placement test, and all of a sudden they're looking at math, and they're going, "I, what foreign language is this?" Is that one of the most difficult things for students that maybe are over 30?
Well, I'd say for over 30 for sure, and even recent high school students, because if they weren't successful in high school algebra, then we had set up a barrier, which we've now changed. We've now made it possible that college algebra isn't the only way to get a diploma or a certificate, and it begins across the board this fall. So that's really a message that we need to give to all your listeners. In other words,
there's a way around algebra.
Amen.
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 Uh-oh. Right, give me back. So there's a way around algebra.
Yeah.
Is that because it was big? Because my perception when I asked education reformers about algebra, they say that makes you think of college. And I'm going, okay, if you want to fix my car, and the skill is, first of all, understanding what the computer is saying about my car, and then you figure out, why do you need algebra? I could never understand that.
Well, I think that's one of the national forums that's being discussed right now. And, of course, it's being discussed in concert with high school, because high school is essentially trying to prepare you for college algebra.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably not even correct for all high school students. But let's talk about college. What we've done in college is we have three math tracks now.
Mm-hmm.
College algebra and calculus, if you're going into a STEM field.
Right.
Quantitative reasoning, if you're going into nursing and a variety of business fields.
Right.
And technical math, if you actually are going to be in air conditioning, advanced manufacturing, or automobile.
That sounds like the simple math of, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, like that.
I mean, it just makes a lot of sense. And what we did historically is that when community colleges were having trouble transferring to their four-year brethren,
mm-hmm.
about 20 years ago,
right.
they decided, let's look like our four-year brethren.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they took what I call IU math, and mm-hmm. they made college algebra the holy grail for you getting your diploma. What's that done? It's just kept people out of school. Because most people, everyone that you know,
right.
you've had on your show today,
mm-hmm.
a handful would have used this. Of course, I'm an engineer and I had to take that math.
Right.
But you know, after 5 years out of school, I wasn't using any of that math anymore. So, you know, statistics and other things. The country's thinking about this. We're a leader nationally in making math more accessible.
Let me go back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Thank you, Mr. Amos.
You're welcome.
Mr. Snyder, I just wanted to let my voice be heard. My son started applying at Ivy Tech in January 2013. He graduated from high school in May of 2013. We've been to the Lawrence campus, and he's been to the Meridian Street location as well, and they refused to enroll my son. He has taken the acupuncture test. The math test, and he has passed everything at the college level. I've written you several letters, Mr. Snyder, and I've not received any response. The most disappointing thing for me as a mother is I've taken off 4 days from work trying to get my son signed up, enrolled, tested, and all this at Ivy Tech. The last time he went to try to enroll was in October 2013. They told him to go to the Meridian Street campus. He did. He got there. He waited a whole hour. They told him, no, you need to go to the Lawrence campus. He went out there. They said, no, we're not going to enroll you here right now. You can start in the spring semester. He was like, why? I'm here. I've been trying for almost a year now to try to get enrolled into Ivy Tech. The next day I took off work, I went to the Lawrence campus.
Right. So what program did he want to be in?
That's the thing. He's like, just tell me what I need to do. He just really wanted to get into a basic course just to get his foot in the door at college.
Well, it seems unusual, but I would do this. Give us your information. I respond to every letter I get directly, but all my letters come in usually via email. But give us your contact information. We'll reach out to you within the day.
What reason did they give not to enroll him?
They kept telling us the classes were full. But bear in mind, in October, they said, well, the classes are full. You can start in spring of 2014. Bear in mind, Mr. Brown, they had class start in November and January. Those classes were not full because they put up on the computer, and I said, there's spots in that class, and that class. And they said, well, Ms. Miller, we're not going to let him start school. He has to start the spring of 2014. And my son stood in the middle of the floor with tears in his eyes. He said, all I want to do is get enrolled in college.
So,
and they stood in the middle of the lobby at the Lawrence campus and said, I told you like I told you yesterday, you will not be able to start until the spring of 2014. And bear in mind, the lobby was full, and he was just like, this man just humiliated me in front of all these people.
Well, it'd be pretty difficult to be in a class immediately in other words, the spring of the year is January 10th or so is when that started. It might have been tough to get into class in October and finish before the semester ended. But in any case,
bear in mind, we've been trying to get out of January 2013.
Yeah, so why don't you give Chris your information, and we'll reach out to you because, you know, these are –
doesn't make it – yeah.
Yeah, these are instances where, you know, our whole objective is to get him in, and the bulk of what you can do can be done online. But obviously, we've dropped the ball.
Mr. Snyder, I've done everything. I've even driven to Bloomington to try to get him enrolled there. We just reached out to every single resource we had, and there was nothing. They kept telling us no. Now, I will say the Bloomington campus was very helpful. They gave us everything we needed, but it wasn't feasible for him to relocate to Bloomington.
Right.
All right, so give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, and they will follow up with you, okay?
Thank you so much. We'll have a wonderful day.
You're quite welcome. Thanks. Let me go to Kathy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I was calling because I'm an Ivy Tech graduate from the LPN program, and I have been back to Ivy Tech on several attempts to do my transition program to get my RN license, and they have made it so difficult. I've even taken my anatomies over and gotten straight A's. I've made the dean list several times, and the math is just so ridiculous, and it's just a blocker.
It is a blocker,
so many.
And it's changing this fall. That math will not be required this fall.
Okay, because I didn't hear the whole program. I'm homesick today. My husband happened to call me, and it just has discouraged me because I have not returned. I went one time. My last class I taken was January of 2013, and I haven't been back.
Well, we now, by this fall, will have quantitative reasoning instead of college algebra for the RN transition program. So I would encourage you, you know, when you're feeling better, to reach out again. And if you want us to do some personal follow-up, you can leave Chris with your phone number.
Okay. I would greatly appreciate because, like I said, I graduated May of 99 for the transition program.
And are you working in the field today?
Yes, I'm working as a home health LPN, but a lot of downsizing is going on, and I just feel like I'm stuck because I can't go any further, and I desire to.
Well, this math has been a barrier for many years, and we think now that the nursing faculty have decided that this course in quantitative reasoning, which is more practical math, is the math for RN program. So I think, and of course, you didn't have to take math as an LPN. It wasn't required.
Yes.
So
first semester I went back and started taking classes, they told me to enroll in math 118. And
right,
I did. And when I was in that class, that's when they switched everything.
Right.
I took it. So I took the math 118 and I passed it.
All right, so hold on and give Chris your information, and they'll follow up with you, okay?
And you may not have to take math again if you passed 118.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. 239-1310, 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Regina, hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I have a question for you.
He's right here.
I have been trying to find a school to get my broker's license as far as importing and exporting, and there is no place in Indiana that offers that. The closest place you can go to is like Chicago. And what I want to know is, how do you determine what courses or degrees that you have at your school.
Is this to get a federal license to do import-export?
Yeah, a broker license.
Is that something? Is that something?
Well, you know how to read the harmonizing codes and know how to.
Who regulates that license? The state or the federal government?
I don't know. I know Customs Brokers Patrol. They, you know, give some of the classes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
This could be a new thing.
It is. It could be a new thing. We don't do that today, but we will look into that and see whether there's something we can bring here. Because with Indiana as a major exporter, we probably have what we decide is customer demand, either on the part of the employer or student demand, where we do this, and we would do it in our Ivy Tech corporate college, along the lines of what we do is CDL for truck drivers, where you pay your fee and you come up with the appropriate license. So we'll look into that, we'll see if we can. But it's not something we do today.
And Regina. Regina, you might also send a note or an email to your state representative and state senators, because the state funds Ivy Tech. And sometimes if legislators say, hey, you know, Tom Schneider, you ought to look at this, he's got to look at it.
Yeah, because like the freight forwarding companies and stuff, in order for them to operate, they have to have at least one person that has a broker's license.
That's well, and we'll reach out to Conexus. I'm on the board of Conexus, and that's logistics and manufacturing, to find out if there's demand here. And if so, we will publicize that.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Let me go to Renee at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi.
Mr. Schneider and Amos, I have a question.
Okay.
You were talking about for the people that were over 30. I'm over 50. I want to go to school. I want to go back to school, then to college. But that was so many years ago, as you can see. But I want to know what's the first step I would take in order to go back to school. I don't know what I want to do, but I want to go back.
Well, I would encourage you to go to the school website and start looking at our programs.
Okay, now, first of all, I don't know how to work with computer.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Wait,
here's the deal. You got a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter that's good with computers?
Yes.
Then you give them a mission. Say, you want to earn a quick $20? Sit down and walk through this website with me. And then when you go to the Ivy Tech website at ivytech.edu, what is she going to look at? Because the kid's going to help them now.
Well, then she can start to look at programs and programs by campus to see what we offer and see what interests you. But one of the things you may want to think about here is you may want to go to the Work One office nearest you, mm-hmm. and to see whether they've got a computer training course for you, because it'll be really difficult to go through a degree program without getting yourself laptop compatible. Now, it's not as difficult as you think, and you could do it with a iPad or a Droid, a big screen. You know, you don't need a laptop at home, okay? I mean, you don't need a desktop. But you probably need to get conversant, you know, like you're using your cell phone. There'll be a point where you can enroll with your cell phone alone. But I'd encourage you to do two things. I would get one of your children, grandchildren, to kind of spend the afternoon with you looking at the website and see what interests you.
Okay.
And see where you've got, because it's hard work. And if you've used some of your Pell eligibility, you may not. You know,
I've never used that.
Well, do you know there's no age limit on Pell?
Oh, I didn't know.
No. Uh-huh. So the first thing to do is listen to the show on Wednesday when they talk about financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
Fill out that financial aid form before March 10th. Absolutely.
Oh, I do need to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can go to College Goal Sunday, because College Goal Sunday, you can be of any age.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I thought that was just for the high school.
No! It's for everybody. If you're even thinking of going back to school and getting some of Uncle's money. Yes!
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to try that.
Okay.
So fill out that form, get that in. See whether there's a computer course offered either through your high school in your neighborhood or through Work One, so that you're comfortable, and then, you know, start from there. But you want to do something where you think, one, it's going to reward you for the work you do, but you're passionate about it.
Okay.
I appreciate this.
Thank you.
Tom Schneider, this may be the dumbest question of the month. Has Ivy Tech ever thought of an over 50 open house or partnering with AARP or somebody? Because when you think of any kind of institution of higher education, you think it's for younger people, even Ivy Tech. And so there is a psychological barrier, you know, people over a certain age think, oh, that's where my kid or my grandkid is going to. Have you thought of open house?
We make ourselves open to open house we do routinely, but we haven't made one just for working adults. We have about 80% of the working adults who come back to college come to us. Mm-hmm. So we think that's well embedded, but you bring a good point that maybe we have to do that, especially now as we talk about. Additionally, if you're over 65, you can go for free and you're retired. So
You see, now you're getting close to my age.
Yeah,
if you're over 65, you can go to Ivy Tech and you've already paid for it.
Well, if you're retired,
you gotta be retired. You can't be working.
You can't be working, and you can go for free.
Mm. See, that's one way.
But you have to bring two pieces of ID, Amos. Otherwise, we're not going
to. Yeah, okay. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoons with Amos Walker with folks from Ivy Tech. Let me go back to the phones and Sherry, then we'll take a break. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question and a statement.
Okay.
First of all, I just got out of class. My math is math 135. I heard the young lady before me. She is in her transition from LPN to RN. So am I. The only class I have left is to pass this math class, and I was given counseling that 135 finite math would be, you know, a good way to go.
And how's it working for you?
It's not working at all.
Do you have a tutor?
I have lived for the first part of before this first test, which we took February 3rd. I've lived in the learning center, and I've had the greatest tutors. They are great tutors. However, you know, things are going a little faster than I'm accustomed to, being that I'm not familiar with what I'm doing.
Right, and, but it's a tough course.
Yeah, but I know I have to have this. But I was thinking, why don't the mathematicians have to take anatomy and physiology? Because we have to take math, they should have to take something equivalent. You know what I mean?
Well,
maybe they'll write that into Indiana Common Core.
Yeah. So how'd you do anatomy and physiology?
I did great.
Did you get an A?
I got a B.
B, that's good. That's good. But you've not yet been accepted in the nursing program.
Well, I was told that I have to complete a math class of a higher level than I already have in order to be considered.
And
what math
did you complete already?
040.
Oh, okay. Well, you have to have a credit math, and so 135 might be it. But I think what you have to do is you've seen tutors. Have you gone back to the nursing advisor? You don't want to get yourself in other words, you probably need to go back into an advisor. And if you're not getting their attention, you can give Chris your name, and we'll follow through to make sure somebody does follow through with you. Tough course that you're in.
Are you close to getting D's and C's?
Well,
are you there?
Here.
She must be in the part of Ivy Tech where the phone service is the greatest in the world. Hold on, and we get Chris because we don't want to lose you. Get her name and a number we can reach during the day. We'll take a break. Obviously, the math 135. What's the other one? Math 138. That seems to be the courses.
135 and 136 are the most difficult math courses we offer. I mean, other than getting into calculus. And of course,
I think the members of the state, you know, the Commission on Higher Education ought to take Math 135 and 136.
That's right. Well, you remember that economics club I talked to a few years ago and I gave that math test?
I heard about it.
And they all failed.
I heard about that. 239-1310. 239-1310. Ask News Davis. More after these. Among our guests tomorrow will be the folks with the Indianapolis African American Republican Council. Also, we'll preview tomorrow night's Black History Month concert with the Indianapolis Symphony. Back to the phones in Sharifa. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. First of all, I want to say that I wasn't privy to the entire conversation. I sort of came in on the tail end as you guys were talking about changing the math requirement. So I have a comment, and then I have a question.
Okay.
My first comment is I had a fantastic experience at Ivy Tech. I graduated in 2007. I was a NINA scholar, and it carried me over to IUPUI, where I then finished my bachelor's degree. And the math was very difficult. I started at the bottom, at the very lowest level, and worked my way up to 135. And between the tutoring that I received through the NICE NINA Scholars Program, the tutoring at the math lab, and then I also, when neither one of those facilities were open for me, I also received some tutoring through the triage program. So I didn't, again, I wasn't privy to the whole conversation, but I didn't hear any mention of any of those programs since I have been listening, and they are supremely beneficial. Besides the NINA Mason-Pulliam Scholarship, there's also the Bowen Scholarship that is offered. And I know a lot of us who are what were deemed as non-traditional students received a lot of assistance through those programs.
Sharifa, those are all great points. We're going to reach out to her and suggest some of that. It's going to be really important, I think, to make sure that they, the students who are struggling, do as much as they can. You know, it's a real blessing, the Pulliam Trust. It's a real blessing that Bob and Terry Bowen have made these scholarships available. And you're just a great role model. And you telling your story to everybody gives them encouragement that maybe they can do it too.
Appreciate that. Thank you. I got to move on. Let me go to Anonymous right quick. Well, Anonymous, you got about a minute.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question. I want to start school in the fall, but I always I went to a I got my stuff, my diploma through somebody else, and they're not accredited. So I'm having problems trying to get into school.
Who'd you get your wait a minute, Who'd you get your diploma from?
True Beginnings.
From where?
True Beginnings Ministry Baptist Center.
Okay, so what do you want to do? What do you want to take at Ivy Tech?
The nursing program.
All right, and so all you've got is your high school diploma?
Yeah, but I went to college. I got my medical assistant diploma through Stanford Brown College, but now I'm in Indiana Tech. But I'm in healthcare, but they don't have no nursing class at all. But then I did go to Indiana Tech to take the test, but then they switched it on me. So I took it twice, and I didn't pass neither time because they switched the test.
So what are you looking to be on financial aid?
What is that?
Or do you think you qualify for financial aid?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you got to make sure every year, and Amos got to make sure.
You got to fill out that financial aid form.
Every single year before March 10th, and you got to fill it out.
So have you, Anonymous, have you talked to an advisor at Ivy Tech?
I have, like, last year, but they told me that they couldn't accept me because it wasn't a credit, even though I go to school at Indiana Tech right now.
Well, the Indiana Tech credit, Indiana Tech credits we would take. Now, credits from your ministry program probably wouldn't apply to nursing because the nursing courses, as you can see in our catalog, they're all technical. So there might be some general ed courses, but I would say, you know, we've looked at your transcript and we probably decided you've got to start, from the basics in nursing, right?
Right.
Okay. I may not change, but these Indiana Tech credits may transfer. I would take them to Lawrence campus.
All right, so go over to Lawrence and check that out. Glenna is going to be our last caller. Glenna, you got about a minute.
I am a retired teacher, but I was a math teacher. And I just wonder, since they said you offer courses to people that are 65 and older free.
Yes.
I would just like to brush up. Would you accept someone like me?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You would?
Yeah, and wonderful. Just to make sure that my money's where my mouth is leave Chris your name, and that way we'll contact you and make sure that it works. And I think the rule is over 65 and officially retired.
Oh, wonderful.
And all right, so I'll let you do that, and you can come back and teach for us.
there you go.
Well, actually, I'm kind of disabled, but I'd like to be a volunteer at my church to help these these people, like the people that are calling in.
That'd be wonderful to do.
All right, so hold on, and Chris is going to get your information. If you want more information about Ivy Tech, they got a website. Everything you ever want to know about Ivy Tech is on the website at ivytech.edu, ivytech.edu, or you can call them toll free from 7 a.m. to 1 in the morning.
Yeah, we got a call center full time.
An Indiana call center. You talk to Hoosiers at 1-888-489-5463. 1-888-489-5463 or 1-888-IVY-LINE. Tom Schneider. He did that in the big type so I could read it. Thanks very much for being with
us. Great, Amos. You do a wonderful job. Appreciate it. I'll come back anytime.
There you go.